You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 119. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
We are back and mostly recovered from Gen Con. Yes?
Mostly.
Mostly. how was your return flight?
Non-eventful.
Yeah, ditto.
I was pleased.
So where do you want to start?
The beginning.
All right.
We got...
I was scheduled to be, I think it was the fourth seed in the WTC tournament on Thursday morning. The first kind of warm up. Winner gets a 2-round bye into Worlds, which is just awesome.
You say scheduled as though that did not happen?
And then
my
flight was canceled.
Oh, that's right. You didn't get there? You didn't get here in time?
Yeah. So, yeah. Someone else took my spot. It was a fellow who didn't actually register in time and wanted to play. I'm looking at the list, and I don't see it. I don't see the name of the person who it was. It wasn't Eric, because everyone must have bounced up. But, yeah, so... Either way, I probably didn't deserve that spot anyway. So that's good news for the person who jumped in. I would have played the winner of the Michael Van Breemen Chris Donati game. And it turned out to be Eric Robinette's spot. I think he bumped up from the fifth seed to the fourth seed, and he ended up defeating MVB and going up against Jeffrey. And he lost to Jeffrey. Jeffrey went on to play Will Hoskin, and Will Hoskin took in the final round. So congrats to Will for that. I was going to take my Equinox deck. I ended up using that later on in the weekend. So, you know, I get to still play it. It wasn't lost for making it.
Now, did you
that was Thursday morning. What were your plans for Thursday?
I did my plans for Thursday, actually. I played D&D with some friends from the East Coast who I don't get to see very often, but also come to Gen Con. So I was kind of doing double duty, triple duty over the weekend. So I wisely, after the last Gen Con I attended, I did not schedule myself for an 8 a.m. game on Thursday.
Yeah, good call.
Which was good because I would not have made it thanks to whatever jackassery happened with Gen Con behind the scenes, because the will call line, if you order your badge, you can either pay to have it shipped to you. They used to ship it to you for free. But since they made it paid, I started picking mine up at will call. And it's never been more than a 5-10 minute line in the 15 odd years that we've been going to Gen Con, until this year. This year, I was thinking, well, my first event isn't till 1, and I kind of got in pretty late. Maybe I'll sleep in and then go to my event. And I happened to wake up at some point mid-morning and go, well, okay, I'm feeling all right. I'll get up and go ahead and go grab my badge. Maybe I'll get to see the floor a little bit before my game. And that was not the case, because the will call line was 2 hours long.
This is the line to
pick up your badge.
Pick up your badge and then go?
That you've already purchased. Not walk up and buy a badge at the con if you haven't bought it already, which is the line that has traditionally been the long one. For whatever reason, and I was not able to find out too many details about it, because as I said... I got there, got in line, and I literally Had to run to my game after I got my badge. I was 10 minutes late even. Luckily, I was able to text some friends who were there, and they were able to make sure that my character levels and roles were known so they could fit me into a party amongst our group of friends. Otherwise, I would have shown up late, and they would have already mustered all the parties, and I would have basically just missed out. But yeah, for whatever reason, the line went, if you've ever been to Gen Con or if you've been to the Indianapolis Convention Center, it went from the line of areas where there's booths all the way down that hall along where the vendor's floor usually is, down to the end of the convention center, doubled back on itself all the way back to the booths, and then had to go out the door.
Oh, my goodness.
And was, again, as long as the convention center outside. So, yeah.
Well, I was scheduled to land at around 9:30. I would have landed, spent probably, 15, 20 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, getting to the convention center, and then that would have been me in that line waiting for 2 hours. I would have missed the tournament anyway.
Yep. So, I don't know. By the time I got my badge, the line was down to only an hour and 15 minutes. Woohoo! But yeah, I don't know what went wrong with there. But apparently next year I'll have to suck it up and have it shipped to me if I want to get it in any reasonable amount of time next year.
Well, I missed the deadline to pre-register by about a day, so I had to pick mine up. But by the time I get there, when my flights were rearranged and I finally landed, I think I got in around 1 or 2 o'clock. There wasn't much of a line there, but everyone there was amazed that the line had disappeared. So I heard the stories, but I did not. I was not stuck by it.
I have to imagine there was some kind of computer debacle, because usually they're open very early. You can go and pick it up, and
I don't understand. There's a pile of envelopes, and you find the name alphabetically, and you give it to the person, and then the next person walks up.
That's true.
What could possibly
And it wasn't helped by the fact that, and this happens at every con I've ever gone to where they try to divide by letters. I don't know who does the alphabetical analysis of people's last names, but they always get it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Even with the line dwindled to what it was, everyone was standing in the G through M line, which is where I need to go, and there was no one in A through F at all.
Yeah.
And apparently the people in A through F don't know how to alphabetize those other letters, because they couldn't help anyone except wait for someone in there. It was a mess.
Yeah. So
Gen
Con, the company, gets a big fat F for this particular, certainly for the organization of pickup. On the other hand, I have to say, we skipped last year, but we went 2 years ago, and over the couple of years that year and the couple of years before that, I have to say, I really felt like Gen Con was wilting. Like it had been shrinking. The vendor's floor was getting smaller and smaller. I felt like the events were becoming less interesting and more expensive. And I almost felt like they were going to go away, self-destruct or somewhat. Some such,
mm-hmm.
but it felt like it was a different con this year.
Every year Gen Con is right after Comic Con, and every year I get to the floor and I think, wow, this floor is small, because we just walked around Comic Con with a mile-long convention center.
Right.
I didn't feel that way this year. I felt like, wow, the convention floor, the vendor floor, was actually pretty big.
Yeah, and it felt
like there was a lot to see.
It was nice and spacious, and I think that might have been because they combined aspects of it. Like there was a large artists area and authors on the vendors floor instead of in another room. But still, it definitely gave the impression of a larger, more prosperous convention than it has in previous years. So I guess that's good from a prosperity of the gaming community perspective. And the other thing I thought was cool was that you could literally walk from the floor into the gaming area. They were adjacent. They shared a wall. So you could walk through one of the side doors and just go right in instead of having to. Previous years, it's been like a maze to get from the, especially the card gaming area. You know, you had to go all the way around to get from the old vendors floor area to the old card gaming area. And since they've done the renovations to the Indianapolis Convention Center, they've taken over all that space where the old football stadium used to be. And they had all of Gen Con there in that space, and the halls where the old vendors floor used to be was a John Deere convention or something like that?
Yeah.
So it was huge to have enough space for both of those things going on, and it was nice to have things adjacent to each other and be able to bounce back and forth fairly quickly. Well,
everything was nice and convenient, I think.
Yeah. So you got there too late for the Thursday tournament. Did you do anything else that day?
Yeah. After missing that, I jumped in on the 1E official. It was just kind of like a warm up event. That was just a side event to jump in and play. Just anything. I think I had a ticket for a OTSD that afternoon, but I used it for this instead. For some reason, I just didn't feel like playing in a sealed event. I wanted to use one of the decks that I made, so I jumped in and played my Enterprise E deck, and had a pretty good time. It was I got to play against Jordan. Jordan, former world champion, great 1E player, great guy. I lost to him. You remember a show ago, or maybe it was at a tournament, I said that I just have never played against a Borg opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did.
You got your chance.
Yeah, I was playing Enterprise E. He was playing Stop First Contact.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. So he stopped First Contact.
Oh, man. That's not how that movie's supposed to go.
No, well, sitting on the other side of the table, I'm at a loss as to what I could have done to stop it. It's just you throw all your dilemmas at Earth and you hope he doesn't get by them, and there's just no window of opportunity to jump in and do all the stuff that you're supposed to do to stop the Borg. I couldn't attack him. I couldn't rig his probe. I couldn't do anything. So I think I had solved a 30-point mission, and he solved his 40-point objective, and shortly after that time was called. So I got a modified loss there. I played against a guy named Jeff. Apologize, Jeff. Don't remember much about that game. And then I played Jeremy, who would go on to greater things later, and he beat me pretty soundly. So I went 1-2, but I had a pretty good day, and just enjoyed a couple of random games. After that, there was a couple other things going on. I think I just hung out and sat down and played some Tribbles. We've been playing a lot of Tribbles.
Tribbles this weekend.
I've got just pages and pages. So Thursday afternoon, Thursday late, Friday evening, Friday late, Friday later, Saturday final, a couple of pre-Heat 1 and Heat 2. So I've got like seven pages of Tribbles tournaments to enter in, so that's going to be great. Every day we pretty much sat down and just relaxed with a couple of rounds of Tribbles or something like that. So
yeah, I know that was great. I brought four decks with me, and I played all of them at least once. And at least one day, they were all used at the same time.
Neat.
So that was cool. We taught a lot of new players how to play Tribbles. We met a lot of people there who said that they had either heard us talking about Tribbles or heard, you know, people talking about, you know, seeing the new deck builder on the site or whatever, and had gotten into Tribbles, and they'd printed out some decks to bring along and try out. So it was definitely good to see it, you know, proliferating.
Uh-huh. Or something like that.
As it were.
Yeah. Friday was the two heats to get into Worlds. So Friday, day one, part one, and Friday, day one, part 2E, day one, part two. We met in the morning, and you went off in your direction, and I went to play in the morning heat.
Yes. Now,
what did you do?
I got up early and because I was trying to fit in, like I said, play some D&D with friends and also still make it for all the world events, I did what I didn't do on Thursday and got into the 8 a.m. D&D slot with some friends, and it was a really good time. I had fun mostly because of the people I was playing with, so we kind of made our own fun. The module experience could have been better. It was not as bad as what happened to us at Origins.
Yes, the infamous game of
yes
horrible GMing.
The people I was with kind of felt that way. Mostly, I think I did not feel like it was as bad because of our Origins experience. I think that's the only reason I wasn't as frustrated as the rest of them. I was like, I don't know, this guy's great compared to the guy we had at Origins. But yeah, he wasn't very good. I was just having fun because we were goofing off and, you know, role-playing ourselves into our own entertainment.
Well, that's too bad, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it could have been better, but it could have been worse. It was good in that we were all together, so misery loves company. And, you know, we did our best to steer it into less miserable territory as a group, which was cool.
Okay.
But it was still fun. I still had a good time. I know that they are all very much up in arms as we were after Origins. So I still need to finish my... I think it's probably been long enough since Origins that I can finish my letter to Wizards about how bad that game was without, you know, starting to get myself worked up into a fury again.
Mm-hmm.
Each time I try to think about it. So maybe we can send our letters all together and maybe they'll start being a little more choosy about who they allow to run their games.
Yeah. At some point it's a volunteer position, but you think that remind me, I think you said that was like the premier con of tournament, right?
Yes.
Or module.
And it was the spec, which is the special, you know, it's supposed to be hard, but it's supposed to be a special event that you can only play at Gen Con, at least for some time. They don't release it to the public for some months.
So that strikes me as something that should be a high level, you know, not just a demo of somebody walking off the street.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's really too bad.
He didn't have any idea what was going on, and so when he got to something he didn't understand, he just made it up. And
well, that could be the mark of a good role game master, but
sure. Except that he didn't really know what he was doing when it came to making things up. And he was at a table full of people who did.
Okay. Yeah.
Which
doesn't take a bad good game master to recognize a bad one or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it was still a good time, and but I managed to make it over to the afternoon. Those were morning heats were done at 1, so I had actually a decent break before the second heat, morning modules for D&D, and then I was going to do the afternoon heat for Worlds, but I had a nice couple hour break, so I got to look at the floor a little bit and come and see how you guys were doing, and you were having a time, it seemed. You played in both heats?
I started out in the first heat. I lost. I just had a close game against Ken, came out to Continentals.
Yeah.
The guy from Canada, yeah. And then I won my next two games. So I feel pretty good. In fact, I think at that point I was in the top 8 somehow. Maybe even after the fourth round, I don't know.
Yeah.
What Charlie told me that I was doing really well, and I was like, yeah, really? No, I don't think so. Pat, and I lost. And I played against Eric, and I lost. But I was playing with this TNG Bajoran, stupid, cheap, lots of at what cost, you know, just a little ridiculously fast deck. And I had a great time. And I was ready to call it at that. I went 2-3, so I didn't place very high. I think I was 18 out of 35. But I was ready to call it a a day and go off and play something else or walk the floor, and then you and Donati and TK showed up and said, "Hey, Dan, you should play with us and play again. Jump in the second heat." And I said, "Okay, I've got this other deck that I brought, which was the deck I was planning on playing the previous day." Little did I know, I should have just played the same deck, since at that point I had played it enough to remember how I should have played it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I had reacquainted myself with it. Whereas I picked up that Equinox deck that I was planning to play, and I lost the first round, the second round, and the third round, and then I was done.
Oh, man. Because
that was 8 rounds of 2E, and I had had enough.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
In fact, I think I had just munched through lunch, and it was seriously time to go get dinner, so we ended up leaving. How did you do in your first 3 rounds?
You know, I actually didn't do too bad. I went 2-1, and I felt pretty decent about how I was doing. You know, I've said before, I'm not really much of a high-level player, and I didn't want to get too excited about what I was playing. I basically, as I said in our preview show, I didn't want to build come with a super fun deck and then just get obliterated. I wanted to at least have something that was kind of competitive. So what I did end up doing was looking at the affiliations that we wagered on and picking whichever one I thought I could get away with putting the least effort into.
Had I thought about that, I would have stuck with the TNG deck.
Yeah.
But no.
Get yourself some points.
It would have been 3 points.
I ended up building a Terragnor deck. I didn't even look at it. I basically net decked myself. I went back and pulled out the Terragnor deck that I won the tournament with a couple of months ago and just put that back together. I did rebuild the Dilemma Pile because I had used the Tragic Turn. I think that was the tournament where we both shut up with Tragic Turn, thinking nobody ever played Tragic Turn in our meta.
Right.
So, new Dilemma Pile, but overall it was, you know, having been up late the night before and up at 8 o'clock to play D&D, it was a good deck for me to come in and just autopilot, because you play the guys you draw, and then you download the Triumvirate, and then you go start attempting missions, and you go until you can't. And it was, not too brain intensive. I played Michael Van Breemen in the first round and was very lucky to be his opponent when he could not draw ships to save his life.
So he lost to you, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I did not win. He lost because he couldn't draw one of his four ships until he was down to his last 11 cards or something. I'm glad. I mean, I'm not maliciously for him, but his decks are never fun to play against. I'm sure they're fun for him to play in whatever way he defines fun, but I saw Krug sitting there, and I bounced him with Wayun a couple times, and he just kept coming back, and I just knew bad things were going to happen to me if he ever got a ship out. So even while he was sitting there, more or less helpless, watching me attempt, I was still making sure I had plenty of people on my ship, you know, making sure I didn't go and attempt with too many on a planet. I went space first instead. And then when I went, I took every last person I had to planet because I knew that they weren't going to ever leave that planet.
Sure.
And once I left my ship. I ended up pulling that out based on just pure luck. Not to say that I wouldn't have had a chance if he had been, able to go attempt a mission. But I'm sure it would have been a little less one-sided.
For sure.
I lost my second game, and I'm honestly completely blank. Oh, no, I now remember. I lost to Will Hoskins, I had a great time playing him. He had a great sense of humor, and he was just a great opponent to kind of you know, have fun playing against. He pulled a Matt. I only think of that because it's been that way in the last couple of tournaments we described, in that he played a deck that was really cool and interesting, and worked really well, and then he went and sullied it by having one cheesy broken card in it to ruin it. I mean, that's mostly an exaggeration because I was like, oh, that's so stupid. How could that possibly work like that? But he had like the god draw. And like he was playing DS9 TNG, four of his first five personnel that hit the table were Federation DS9 different races. So the end of his second turn he dropped a school, and the beginning of his third turn he dropped a school for 10 points, and then the rest of his turn was dropping the Admiral and the President and losing 10 points to download 5 people.
Yikes.
And it was like, whoa, that was really cool. I'm screwed. it continued along those lines. He had really good people and getting past things. Oddly enough, the most annoying thing of his deck was, aside from playing bustling and not playing anybody I could bustle for, was friggin' George Primin.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I don't know if they missed a word on him or, they just ran out of room and they didn't think it was going to be a big deal or what. Or as we were theorizing on the day, that people were aware that he's kind of broken, but he was in a really low tier affiliation, so nobody cares. And now
I've seen him in just like a TOS deck or a Voyager deck. Just in the rare opportunity for a secret identity.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's that good.
Because he's that good. That's, I mean, the fact that he can name himself is kind of ridiculous. I think the trade-off for his cost and ability was that, you know, he is stopped in order to do it. Like, he's selected to be stopped, and he names somebody else, and they can't be stopped. Sort of a security sacrifice. Not, oh, I don't want to be stopped, so I'm going to never be stopped ever.
After did you have a third round opponent, or did we hop out of the second round?
No, we stayed for a third round, and actually did really well.
I remember.
He was not. I guess having a good con. I didn't want to. He introduced him. I had not met him before, and I'm trying to remember. I apologize if you're listening and you played me in the third round of the second heat with your Romulan deck.
Ed.
But huh?
Ed Pigman?
Oh, yes, yes. I guess he did not follow my point total, or was not expecting my... Had, was not familiar with the deck or whatnot, but I guess he was not having a good day or a good tournament, and by the time I got to my... I finished my second mission and counted up my 100 points, he was not pleased. I was like, all right, good luck. I'll see you later. I've been there, so I don't want to give him too hard of a time. Things get really frustrating, and my deck was kind of firing on all thrusters, and his was not. So we had fun up to a point, and then as Tarek Nor tends to do, it sort of got the ball rolling and steamrolled through to the end. But I was feeling like I was playing pretty well, and I almost suggested or considered staying for another round or two just to see how it went. But I knew I wasn't going to play in day two. I would rather play 1E. And I knew we had talked about going to dinner. You were hungry. I was hungry. Our friend Jesse, who had been waiting around for an hour so that we would be done so he could go to dinner with us, was hungry, and I kind of looked up the table at everybody above me and went, don't think I want to play any of those people, and I'm going to have to move up if I do. So, I've had three, relatively fun games at a high-level event where I could be getting completely obliterated, and I think if I keep going, that's just what's going to happen. So let's end this on a high note.
Yeah, I really was exhausted at that point, and decided to, after three rounds, I think even if, like I said, I had been doing better, it was time to. There were one or two people who sat through and slogged through all the way through the first heat and all the way through the second heat, and my hat is beyond off. My goodness, that's a lot. That's wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Looking at the final standings, I see the two highest rated, two highest placing Ryzens at number 9 and number 10. Just out of the top 8.
Oh, man. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Like,
yeah, strength of schedule. They had the total. They had the totals, but they didn't have the strength of schedule. In fact, I'm looking at the strength of schedule. Nathan had Will Hoskin had 60. They all had set 14 victory points. Will Hoskin had 60. Nate had 57. Donati had 56. And TK had 55.
Oh, man.
one strength of schedule point between two. Wow, that's fantastic. That's tough.
Yeah, that's
but
a rough
you know
day.
What? I know TK was going to play 1E the next day. I know, and Donati played 1E the next day, and he did better than all of us. So, yeah.
Yeah. So
I enjoyed my dinner.
Yeah. No, we. That,
was that the night we went to Steak and Shake?
Yes, Steak and Shake. And it was mighty.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, it's all running together. Did we go back and eat back at the tables and play tribbles? Is that what happened?
We did. In my infinite wisdom, I suggested we leave our bags at the table or at the tables.
Oh, right,
because
yeah.
We knew we were coming back, and I failed to recall that you left your bag there with your medication for food, and so we're like, well, it was busy at the restaurant anyway. We wanted to get back in time for tribbles. So we just grabbed our food and walked back, and
and
we ate and hung out. And
one of the things I like about that convention center and the area is you feel free to bring all the food you want in there.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It's open. I mean, the actual, I'll tell you, I think it was the next day. Maybe it was the day after. The snack bar there was actually pretty good.
Really?
It wasn't horrible. Yeah. But we ended that night eating Steak and Shake and playing tribbles until too late. a couple of rounds.
Yeah, I think that was the night we did two tribble tournaments.
Yeah,
in a row.
But I didn't want to stay out too late because I knew 9 o'clock, 1E next day. It's going to be pretty rough. We went back to the room, I think, and you stayed up way late.
Too late. Well, so. You know, we actually discussed this on the show, like halfway. You know, it was mentioned as a joke, the whole Romulan ambush, wormhole to the Delta Quadrant and blow people up, and we joked about it. I was like, that's it, we're all taking that, we're all going to blow up Delta Quadrant decks. But I actually really built that, and while between D&D and Heat 2, we were kind of sitting waiting around, and I got a game in with TK, and it actually went off really well. There was some things. It was a very good deck, and with yours and his input, I was able to trim it down and add a couple of key cards, and it was actually, I think, a really great deck. I really, really like it. I'm not a very good player. especially after very little sleep, I made a couple of key mistakes that I think cost me games. But I really liked the idea of fine tuning that deck, and like I said, I'm not usually a competitive, a really intense competitive player for high level events. I don't go in thinking I'm going to win the world championship, but I kind of had a mission, a different sort of mission for this tournament. And that was kill all the reds. And by reds, I mean Delta Quadrant. I really like the idea of just, it's this long running thing that, until this year, since Voyager came out, no, non Delta Quadrant deck has won worlds.
Right.
They're just not competitive. Delta Quadrant is just too broken. And so, with some concessions that actually meant I would do poorly against non-Delta decks, we, I guess, at this point, built this anti-DQ machine. I had a lot of fun decimating Delta Quadrant decks. But it cost me many hours of sleep. I think it was up to like 3:30 printing stuff out. I needed a couple more virtual cards, and I had to completely redo my deck list. So I went down to the Kinko's in the business center of the hotel and printed things off so I wouldn't forget the next morning. And ended up leaving my USB watch in the computer down there and having to recover it the next morning because I was so tired. But I was glad that I did that because it really kind of honed that deck. And I'm not going to say that it caused the downfall of the Delta Quadrant, but I'm looking at the results here, and the top two decks are not Delta Quadrant. And in fact, they are Ryzen Alpha Quadrant decks.
I also went with the knowledge that there was going to be a lot of Delta. In fact, I'm at the term, and there's not a lot of decks or affiliations posted, so I hope that gets rectified soon. But I was expecting Vidian, you know, Delta Fed, just top to bottom. I mean, at least half. So yeah. I played a deck that I felt had the best chance of either throwing a spanner in the works like you did, or just outracing them, and that was my Harness Particle deck, because it starts out and spends some time in the Delta Quadrant. And I blew up the Alara twice, and I just ran, let's see, the second time they came to me, try to stop me from battling, but the next turn I ran down Voyager. Oh, it was a lot of fun. I had an unfortunate incident going into the, I guess it was the fourth or fifth round, when I just came down with a migraine that I couldn't shake, and I lost my focus, and I got beat by Jeremy pretty badly. I think it might have been the third turn, because his deck was insane. But I had a plan. I had a plan to change up what I was doing if we met again in the finals, you know, in the day two and the top four. But I played against Jordan, and I made a lot of really good plays, I thought, but I just made a lot of just boneheaded mistakes because my eyes were crossing and I couldn't think straight.
Yeah.
And I ended up conceding because I just couldn't go on anymore, and I went back and crashed for a while. Jordan played a great game. I'm really looking forward to a rematch. I started off the day against Matthew Hayes, first time I got to play him. He was playing a non-aligned deck, and as soon as I put my missions out, he pretty much told me that he knew what I was playing, and he was not going to have a good time. And my deck worked, and I pretty much steamrolled him. I think I got picked up. It's too bad you can't see differential on here on the tournament board, but it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
In the second round, I played against Carolyn, and that was she had everyone on her ship, and she hit Cytherian, so she picked up about 40 cards, it felt like. And then two turns later, she was playing Delta Quadrant. Two or three turns later, she had everyone back out again.
Yeah, see, it's hard to feel sorry for that.
Yeah, and I didn't, so I came over from a cube and I blew it up. And that was pretty much the end of that. Third round, I played against Chris Crasadigeto.
Yeah.
Have you met him before?
I had not. Not until we played.
Two years ago, when we played a Gen Con, I was playing a First Contact deck, and he was playing a Ferengi deck. And it was a close match. In this game, he had apparently he had been working with the other NorCal guys, and they found the answer to the Harden's Particle deck, which is the Romulan Drone.
Yes.
Ping. Because you can just put them up there and attack.
Ping.
And then stop me from probing. And then put them up there again and attack and stop me from probing. Well, he attacked one turn too soon.
Really?
Because he thought I could probe on the first turn, which you can't.
Oh.
Service to Collective I think it's the one that lets you probe right away if you have the matching counterpart, but there's no the objective plays on the outpost. It doesn't target the mission, so you can't use it. So he taught me from, he battled me the first turn, he battled me the second turn, and on the third turn he didn't have another drone to play. He couldn't use his card play for it, so he couldn't get it back.
Oh.
So I was able to probe and successful, and then I walked through Kronos for the win. And against Jeremy, I didn't even get a probe off. I think I cleared out the mission, but that was it before he won. And against Jordan, we were back and forth. I felt like I was in pretty control of the game. My dilemmas were holding him off, despite him having just all kinds of Corrosion, Vidian, you know, Delta Quadrant stuff ready to go. And I neglected to clear out the bad probes in my deck, and I flipped over an adapt
for
my probe
no.
third turn. Yeah. He had come over to battle me on the second turn, and he was planning to come over and battle me again, but I chased down his Voyager and damaged him. Docked his outpost, so his range was only 5.
Uh-huh.
And then raced back over to probe. And I flipped a bad probe, and my ship blew up, my outpost blew up, and I just scooped because I could have replayed another cube and gone off and messed with him for a while, but it was just not worth it, and I couldn't think straight, so that was the end of that. You played him in round 4, or round 3?
Round 4. I came in a little sleep-deprived, as noted, and a little nervous, because I usually try not to sweat the big tournaments too much, and this time I actually wanted to do something useful. And so I came in, my first game was against Corbin, and I was like, oh, okay, well, this will be a good friendly game, and then he dropped his Delta Quadrant missions. I was like, oh, dude, Delta Quadrant, really? So it was like, all right, well, let's see if this, field test, let's see if this actually works. And I was very careful and trying to remember to do everything in the right order and, you know, try to get the Garaxis or a Dejaredex out and into the Delta Quadrant quickly. It pretty much went as planned. He played a bunch of people, and I took a turn to play a Raptor. And he played a bunch more people, and he took a turn to get his ship and go do stuff. And actually, he didn't go do stuff. He was still he completely admitted, and this was an interesting way of putting it at the tournament was he fell prey to the Delta arrogance.
Yeah.
And, he had 2 outposts, so he had played a bunch of people in one and a bunch of people in the other, and he grabbed all his people, and he moved them from one, and he moved over to the other outpost and grabbed all his people and went through, and he's like, okay, I still need a few people. And he's like, okay, my people are here. We're on the ship, and we're docked. And I, like, very specifically followed his line of text and the cards where he was, and they were very specifically, all his people were on his ship, and they were docked at the outpost. So I came through and I attacked it once and put a damage marker on it, and I came through and I Romulan ambushed and blew the damn thing up, and that was, I was like, awesome, that worked. And I felt a little bad because Corbin's a decent guy, but he's playing Delta Quadrant, so you get what you came for. it didn't matter. Like two, three, four turns later, he's got another dozen people out, and I was like, and that's why. That's why we needed to build something like this to try and slow them down. And luckily, I got my the addition of that. So my special little addition to this deck that we had heard about, using the Romulan ambush to go blow ships up on the first turn, was to use. I swapped out a mission and threw in Cardassia, so that I could use Defend Homeworld to get Madrid and then download Labor Camp. So I do, ideally, I get the Romulan ambush on a first or second turn, and then basically I've got I gain 10 points a turn. Because Labor Camp doesn't specify non-homeworld, it doesn't require the prisoner to be at the labor camp for whatever reason. It just says, you know, well, I know the reason. It's because it's 2E. It's not 1E. So as long as I've got him sitting there and I've got a prisoner anywhere, I get 10 points at the start of every turn. And that pretty much won it for me. He got a bunch of people and went and attempted a planet mission a few turns later, and then I went and blew up that ship, not with everybody on it, but while it was in orbit, but at least they were over there and stranded. He had all big ships, so it was going to take him another couple turns to get that. I unfortunately sent my, because I drew it early, I sent my, I made the same mistake in my playtest game against DK. I sent my universal ship into the Delta Quadrant, and then I had to draw my unique ship waiting around in the Alpha Quadrant to go do stuff. But I ended up powering through a couple of tiny missions and getting the win. So that was kind of the field test. When I got to Jordan, I was feeling pretty good about how it was rolling. And I made the mistake of... And Jordan's a horrible person to make a mistake against, because you only ever have to make one. I mean, you could play a flawless game and still lose to him. But he was playing with 18 ships and 42 people on the first turn or something. I don't know. He had a really diverse Delta arrangement. Like, he had a Hirogen ship, and he had a non-aligned ship, and he had Voyager, and he had a Delta Flyer, and he had a Vidian. I don't think he ever played... He was playing Vidians, but I don't think I ever saw a Vidian ship. But he had so many ships, so I didn't know where to start. And then eventually, you know, I had waited long enough that he had a bunch of people, and he was moving stuff around, and he finally... I guess he didn't want to risk Voyager, so he moved a bunch of people to the Delta Flyer and attempted a space mission. And I was like, ding, time to go. And, you know, Delta Flyer has shield 7. I moved my Raptor over. I pinged it. Got him down to 5. And I failed to do what I always do, you know, because ship stats are public knowledge. If there's any boost, you know, you have to tell me. It's not a mystery. So I'm like, you know, I had been very careful about it, although up until then, you know, what are your stats? What are your stats? What are your stats? Before I go and do anything to you. But I was, you know, a combination of being flustered with trying to figure out what I was doing and playing against Jordan and having so many things and not wanting to tip my hand, I forgot to ask. And I did not notice while I was sorting out my own stuff that he had moved his bioneural gel packs from Voyager over to Delta Flyer to get a little range boost in all the confusion, and he had actually had shields of 6. So, yeah. And despite having had 2 or 3 interrupts in my hand most of the day, I actually had to draw and draw and draw and then Masaka to actually get one.
Wow.
Against him, and I played it, and he's like, oh no, that doesn't work. I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, well, no, you already played it. And it's not like attacking where you can attack and, oh, you've got somebody on your ship, that means I don't attack. It's, you know, blow up a ship that's present that has shields less than 6, and there were none, so it plays and nothing happens. And then I couldn't draw. A, it took me a while to draw anymore, and B, he knew what I was doing, so...
Sure.
Telekramore comes out to sit on Voyager, and you know, all the other ships, you know, Delta Flyer was landing at every mission it went to, and it was basically all downhill from there. And me being me, you know, having made one idiotic mistake meant that I spent the next 3 turns kicking myself for it instead of actually remembering to do everything I needed to do. So I missed several card draws because I forgot to move my Raptor around in the Delta Quadrant after I did all my stuff in the Alpha Quadrant. And it basically was all downhill from there. I still put up a fight, but it was not a very good one. But I felt like I might have had a much better shot if I had gotten that first thing right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who knows? But, you know, and that's it. It's also a really good demonstration of why I don't really like playing in high-level events, because I don't really respond very well under that kind of pressure. as soon as I make a mistake, I just completely fall apart mentally, and it was not fun.
Well, had you have won that game, then I would have played you in the next round.
And that would not have gone well.
No, because my shields start out at 28 or 26 or something like that. So
yeah,
they were taking a lot.
I would not have gone with my first approach because I did know that you were at least likely to bring that. So yeah. I definitely would not have tried to take that tack with it. But I did add a bunch of extra Raptors, and I could have even sacrificed a Warbird if necessary. So mm-hmm. I would have done the same thing that Chris was doing, and been throwing Raptors at you as soon as you had your objective out to probe. So
yeah.
I might have been able to buy myself a couple of turns.
At that point, after playing Chris's deck where he threw that at me, it was, okay, if I see Romulans, I've got to go to plan B, which is let them think I'm going to play Harness Particle and actually just probe for the established gateway and then go to the Alpha Quadrant and then do one assimilate homeworld and one assimilate planet and then go back and play the Resistance is Futile on the mission for the last 10 points. Because all the other objectives, you can move the cube away and you can battle me over here. I don't care. You just can't battle me at the location where the probe is going to be.
Mm.
With Harness Particle 010, I have to have an outpost there, and you can just shoot the outpost.
Ah.
So I couldn't run away from that.
No.
That was the problem. So that was my plan B against Jeremy, had we met in the finals. But it was not to be. But
yeah, that...
I did at that point, I did go back to the room and crash for 4 or 5 hours, and I felt much better afterward.
Which is good, because there were triples to be had afterwards.
And I was in the mood for playing triples when I woke up.
Yeah. My Delta experience ended up being mixed, and I was glad I played it, but I was both happy and sad that I didn't get to play against the other deck that I thought I would see, which is the Enterprise E deck. Because I knew a lot of people were playing that, and whew, that would have been pretty brutal to blow that up on the first turn. The two most interesting games I ended up having, oddly, were the ones I were completely unprepared for, which were playing head-to-head with Chris, Romulan on Romulan, and I had not thought to put security measures, is that what it's called? That lets
you attack your own affiliation?
Exactly. Yeah, so we ended up having a little chess match. It was actually a really interesting chess match. I spotted his quash conspiracy right away and not false seeded it, but rigged the seeding so that I knew what was there and I could blow past it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Including throwing a distracted by thoughts of home under, so my attributes were even lower.
That's awesome.
But he only had 2 space missions, and the other one we both seeded, and it had 6 dilemmas under it. So that was a nice speed bump. He kept trying to play Phoenix. And, you know, he knew I was sitting there waiting to attack him somehow. But he put a Romulan personnel on the Phoenix, and so that I couldn't attack it being non-aligned, but with a Romulan on it. But I could still play the interrupt, so I managed to Romulan ambush him, even though he wasn't.
Interesting.
I couldn't play my target shields on him. I blew up the Phoenix twice, and I managed to capture a character with it on it once, and so I was able to get the very late in the game, but I managed to get some bonus points that way.
Wait. Why would he have someone on the Phoenix?
He didn't want me to attack it.
Oh, right.
Like, ship to ship, because it's not a line I can attack it, but if he's got a Romulan on it, I can't.
But since it had shields so low anyway, just popped it.
Exactly. Usually I have to attack you once to get the target shields on there. Even if I lose, it lowers your shields by 2 until your shields get low enough to be less than 6. But if your shields are already less than 6, it's okay. But he had so many mission specialists that I miscounted And I thought he was going to be at 99 when he solved, but he had one left that got him to 104. He got all of his people, or 99, 94, whatever, enough to win. He went and did the Vulcan objective for 10 points, and he basically took all of his 18 people and dropped them there, and it was more than the 12 I had
wow.
sitting there, which was good for him because I was going to solve next turn and win. So, you know, victim of going second, but still a very close game and a fun game. And my last game, I played against I guess was going around as a rumor of the Outpost Destruction deck. Jason, I think his name is. Yeah, Jason was playing Klingon Mass Motlev. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Motlev for the Blood Oath crew, and Motlev, Motlev, Motlev. Lots and lots of people over and over again. Download, special download, Motlev for more. And then convert downloads, and he was the backwards compatible guy if you have AU people, then you get to draw two cards.
Right.
Oh, I'll convert those two cards into downloads. And then came over with five ships. But they were all Birds of Prey or pass ships. And so as soon as he moved over, one of them blew up. And then another one would have... Yeah. I had... He took so long building it up that I was... I kind of had a sense of what he was doing, so I was kind of trying to fortify, and I kept drawing cards, and by the time he came over, I had three of the interrupts in my hand. And so as soon as he moved over, but before I attacked, I blew one up. I was going to blow another one up, but they had bumps on them. I managed to quin his captain's log before he was able to get a +3 shield bonus on all of them, because that
nice.
Would have been hosed. So he came over and he attacked, because I took one of them out, he couldn't blow up my outpost, so he attacked my ship, which gave me the opportunity to put some tactics on his ships. So on my turn, I did the same thing. I moved most of my ships away, came over with one ship, ping, came over with another ship, ping, and then came over with my third ship and interrupt, interrupt, interrupt.
Wow.
It was glorious.
That's pretty cool. How many people did you end up capturing that game?
Only like two or three, because he was running with rescue captives. Who does that?
What?
Yeah. In fact, I didn't even get any points off of it. Because he popped it so fast. I was like, how did you draw that in that 200 card deck? It was crazy. But we were having so much fun. I think it was we were past the hour mark before we even attempted missions. But we were having a really good time doing it. There was a point at which we were really late on time, and I was fairly certain I was going to win -5 to -8 because I had played the Quinn, and he was building up to get past my Founder Secret.
Founder Secret.
And I knew the combo that was supposed to be in there, but I had forgotten that I moved... under your advisement, actually, I had rigged my seating for wormhole negotiations.
Oh, so once he blew through it, you can go and catch him.
Yeah, but except that I had to take the probe out because I couldn't find room for an AU door, which was unfortunate.
Nope.
But all of my space dilemmas were really good, at least certainly not first turn for me to go and get past them. So I ended up having to pull some things together, and I was like, all right, well, I can do this with probably three people, maybe four. I'll go ahead and throw a higher the fewer there and suck it up. I'll lose some 4 points and then distracted and then Edo probe. I'll keep going, which meant I had to pull my higher the fewer away from that mission where it was supposed to be.
Okay.
So I thought he would have to lose 8 points. Instead, he had to do another dilemma, it stopped him for a turn, but not too much. And he self-seeded a dilemma under wormhole negotiations, which I knew was going to be there. I was like, ah, crap, that has to be a dilemma. It can't be an artifact. So I ended up being able to sort of redshirt past it, but I had to lose points to my own Edo probe. And my own higher the fewer, which meant by the time I did that, I only had like 33 points and he had like 55. But it was glorious. It was an epic battle game. I had a lot of fun.
So the deck that you played, there's a new card in Homefront 2 called Tactical Scan. Have you thought about what this is going to do to that build?
What does that card do? I haven't even looked at it yet.
Sure. It's glance top three cards of any Battle Bridge side deck for 20 seconds, or play at the start of battle to name a tactic. No player may play that tactic this battle.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So now you can't. Your opponent plays this and says target shields, and you can't play a tactic.
That would certainly be rough. I mean, is it an interrupt?
Yeah.
That'll delay me once.
Sure, yeah.
But usually by the time they know what's coming, it's too late. I've already seen everything.
Okay.
That's a cool card, though. Interesting, since I know a lot of people run with just homogenous tactic decks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the Enterprise E deck I was playing was mostly Isolytic Bursts because I was playing with a lot of Sona ships.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, certainly, if you're familiar with it or if you've seen it around, then you might know it's coming. But again, it's an interrupt. I might be able to prevent it. That was a great addition to my deck, by the way. Thank you. Throwing in Anej interrupt nullification. That was a lifesaver in several instances. So that would be another instance where I could use that and just ignore it.
All right, very good. That was the first thing I thought of when I saw that card. Was it's good against, like you say, homogenous decks, side decks, or that, you know, target shields, just so you can lower their shields. But yeah, you're right. It's just one interrupt, and you'd be playing with a bunch, as many as you're planning to attack, especially if you bring over a ship at a time and just ping them.
Yeah. And, you know, I've got a list. I finally grabbed a piece of paper and started jotting down cards I needed to add to that deck if I'm ever going to play it again, because there were definitely some cards I was like, oh, well, I really should have thrown that in.
very good. After I recovered and when he was over, congrats to Jeremy for coming in first place with a non-Delta Quadrant deck. I believe he was playing Klingons and a little bit of Romulans, yes?
I think so, and some non-align. I believe there was some Sona involved.
And second place was also not a Delta Quadrant deck. It was Donati's Enterprise E deck.
Yes, and congratulations to him, definitely, for he just brought that to come and play and have fun. He had no intention of really going all the way, but he kept playing and having a good time, and he took it all the way to the end, into the Final Four, and finished in second place with it. So, you know, that's a great job, and great to see such a wealth of Ricens in the top grouping of the standings. You, in fact, finished in sixth, which is certainly nothing to sneeze at, because, you know, the Borg are not anything to sneeze at.
No, they have no problems to stop things like that from happening.
Right. They adapt.
I had a good time. And, yeah, there were 23 people showed up to play 1E. That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
And if you're listening to this and you haven't posted your deck yet,
do it.
Go do it. Yes. Make that happen. Because the 1E designers need to know that kind of information. And I'd like to see just how many Delta Quadrant decks showed up. And that's good to know. After that was over, we came back and played what else? More Tribbles. In fact, I think we played Tribbles
twice,
pretty late into the night.
And then we played more things. Well past that, way too late.
If you have, well, never mind.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Right. The next morning, I actually spent some time on the con floor wandering around when it opened at 10 o'clock just because I hadn't up in point. I think I spent every hour in the tournament hall at those two tables that we had. I wanted the floor. I was looking for one or two things in particular, but I ended up, I think this is the first con I went to. I didn't buy anything the whole time.
Wow.
I mean, other than food. But my bag was as light going in as it was coming home. I mean, I gave away a bunch of the prizes. I filled up my box with blanks so I could make more promos. And really, I don't know how I managed to not buy any games or anything.
Well, did you do any shopping at Origins?
Yeah.
Man, I definitely felt that way. I don't know, I'm usually very jazzed about walking the floor and just looking at every booth and playing demos of games. And I think, I meant to do that. I followed through with the plan, which was do all of that at Origins, and then Gen Con was just going to be gaming. But it still, even though that's what I planned on, it still felt weird. Going to Gen Con and going, yep, saw that booth. And I was like, I haven't done anything. And there were booths that I hadn't seen at Origins because they weren't there. But it felt weird going in there and having felt like I'd already seen a lot of it. I did get a few things, mostly things that I asked for at Origins, and they said, oh, yeah, that's going to come out at Gen Con.
Yeah, one of the things I was hoping for was a new player's guide for Hackmaster, and it was also not done yet, but apparently it will be available for purchase soon, pre-order soon, and when you pre-order it, you get the PDF.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be out soon. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But after a few hours of that, it was time for Tribbles.
The big, 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 in fact, largest Tribbles tournament on record.
We had a stupid number of people playing Tribbles.
33, the final number?
Yeah, it's it still listed as tournament in progress. We had 33 people.
So we had six tables of 5 and 6?
Yeah. So the 33 people, everyone, we gave out the promo to start so that all the new players and people who didn't have 100,000 discard could throw it right in. And I think most people ended up actually doing that because I saw a lot of 100,000 discard Ezreys throughout the first.
Yeah, hell, I did it just for fun.
Yeah, yeah. And since there were six different pods, that means only the top player from each pod would advance to the championship table. Who was in your opening pod?
Oh boy. Let's see. We had Rich and Tyler and Jeremy and Jesse and James Hoskins and myself.
I had the other Hoskins. I had Will. We had Ken, myself, Josh, the guy who was running around doing most of the tournament directing.
Yeah.
Tobias. And one other person who I don't remember. Jason. I think it was the guy that played the crazy attack deck.
Yes.
And before we started, Will said, well, Dan, I want you to know that I'm playing exactly the deck you posted. So I said, well, good luck. And he had it because he went out every round. I think he went out 4 of the 5 rounds.
Wow.
And I had one Tribble to my name at the end of...
Oh, my.
So, playing exactly the same deck, that's how much luck there is in Tribbles.
Yep.
He advanced, and we all wished him luck, and I ended up at the last place Tribbles table.
Wow.
For the second round. How did your pod go?
It's funny that you should mention that because I believe at one point you mentioned that you redesigned Jesse's deck that you had built for him to largely emulate my deck.
Yeah.
And he was at our table, and James Hoskins was playing. I mean, I don't know because he didn't say. if he just built his own rescue deck or if he was working off of mine, but it was very similar. So at least something close to my deck. So we had three copies of the rescue deck sitting all in a row, unfortunately. And it was actually really tight competition. It was bad in that it was tight competition between us, and the other players were certainly keeping up. But it was also good in that there were three targets for recycle, and there were three targets for recycle. It meant it was bad that there was one target for freeze usually, which was rescue. But in the end, James was pulling ahead because of really good pulls with the toxins. He had went out a couple of times and kept pulling away because of his toxin numbers. And I was way behind, and I got two really solid. I went out in the second, or in the third round, rather, to get some, kind of got halfway up, and I was sitting there counting as that last round's like, okay, well, I have to play at least this many before I go out. And once I broke that threshold, it was basically, I can go out and win, or he can go out and win, or anybody else can go out and win.
Yeah.
Like, I know I have to go out and win, and then once the discards kept falling, I saw the toxins coming out, and was like, oh, God, please don't let him get any more points. I have to keep these number of points in my pile, and as it fell out, I managed to go out before anybody else, and before he could get any points. So I initially thought I had edged him on the strength of the Continentals buy, because I won Continentals. I got 100,000 points to start with, but it was actually a little bit more than that. I had 20,000 more rather than 20,000 less, so... still very, very close, very tight competition. There was a bonus deck there and a couple of, it seemed like a random mix decks or a cornucopia decks.
Yeah.
But I edged them out, to make it to the top table, to play against your deck.
So let's see, if I remember, it was you and Will and Neil and Ben Hosp. That's four. Who were the other two that made it to the top table?
Jared Hoffman and TK. So, yeah. We started, and I don't know. We had scorekeepers for each table, and TK and I and Neil had all been scorekeepers, and so it was like any one of us could have taken over for the top table, and so Neil was at the end, so he ended up doing it, and I don't know if it's just because he's used to it, or he doesn't care, or he thinks it's hilarious, but things were just kind of running rampant, and there was apparently there's a whole... Rivalry is not the right term, I guess. Just Jared and Ben Hosp do not see eye to eye on existence, and so at just about any opportunity there was some kind of friction going on, and Ben being Ben, things were exploding everywhere, and like there was nothing happening. It was all the Ben show. And it was like, can we just play tribbles here? And finally, Charlie had to step in and just calm everybody down and say, okay, stop whatever's happening. What are you playing? What happened? All right, this happened. You won the battle. You put your cards under. Whose turn is it? You play the next tribble, and let's get this thing on the road. Get the show on the road. And after that, it was a lot more fun. Things were getting a little out of control early, and it kind of stopped being fun for a little while, which is the absolute opposite of what tribbles should be. But while all that was happening, Will Hoskins was sitting on the end and very quietly building up points and going out. And all of a sudden he was in the lead, and then he went out again and was in the lead again. And I managed to go out at least once, but it was not with anything significant. And I really had to build up enough points at the end before I could go out to pass him up, and I ended up passing on going out once just for just that reason. And I did get a few more points in my pile, but there was just no way to keep up with him. He went out the fourth round and started the fifth round by playing four cards. And then and you know, he after that it was, you know, it was very quick before he was able to just, you know, maintain his lead and roll right out. So
shortening the game. That's what I usually say when you go out with no points.
Exactly. Very, very well played by him. Definitely a well-deserved victory, and it was a lot of fun getting to play.
Yeah, I in the scrub table, the scrubbiest of the scrub table, I think I had like 12,000 points going into the fifth round. And in the fifth round, I chose not to go out twice, and eventually had all my 100,000s in my play pile, and then went out. So,
wow.
Scored 600,000 and won the table. But it was the wrong table to win. But I cheered very loudly when Will was declared the winner. So
yes, you did. But that rounded out the trio of world champions for the
yes,
weekend.
Congrats to all three.
So congrats to Will and congrats to Jeremy. And you know, we didn't even mention the since we flunked out of day one and played 1E during day two. The day two for 2E was just. It was just painful to watch. I cannot even imagine playing in match play where you have to play 2 out of 3 games. It came down to Mike Harrington and Jeff. And did I hear that right? They tied 2 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
True tie.
Yep.
Timed out with true ties twice in a row. And because Mike was the higher-seeded player, he ended up getting the victory and becoming the world champion. So he is the third member of the 2011 world champion trio. So congrats to all three of those guys. Well-fought, hard-fought, definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some inquiry as to what exactly to do in case of true ties in match play, because that's... Neither player lost in finals, so to have it come down to the placing at a tournament the previous day where they never neither of them played each other.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, that's rough.
That it certainly indicates. It would be the equivalent of strength of schedule for the previous day.
Sure,
but you don't really keep track of any of that stuff on day two because it is match play elimination.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose that would be the next thing to go to, but you haven't been keeping track of that. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting question. I'm sure that's going to get mulled over by organized play and a number of other people.
Yeah. Well, that is not me. So, I'll look forward to a poll that I can vote on later, but it's just something that I guess you have to plan for it, but you'd hope it never comes up. That's just too weird.
Yeah.
That's like two players NNF with exactly the same triple score.
Well, however would you have to resolve that? Didn't that happen Friday night?
Yeah. Yeah, we it was close. I told them they had cut off. Which is not very fair. Because one of them was battle deck. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe you should battle for it.
Yeah. No, oh, jeez. After after we wrapped up, there was a lot of handshaking and well-wishing and see you next timing. And we, 5 of us, piled into a big cab and we headed off to the airport.
Yep. Lots of running off right after triples because people had to make their planes home. But it was nice. very busy, very fun. You can tell we both are a little hoarse. There's no way we could even have Charlie on the show this week because you would not even be able to hear him. He would be so hoarse. He was so hoarse at the end of yesterday. But definitely had some fun, and looking forward to going back over the numbers and taking a look at seeing just how the TUI World Championship affiliations broke down. Obviously, the a lot of the decks are up in the tournament results, but we'll get the numbers hashed out and see. Probably next week, we can tune in and see how the Latinum auction.
That's right.
Actually paid out.
There's one last thing. If you want to see how hoarse Charlie was and how many people were playing triples, go over to the Googles and do a search for YouTube Trek CC message. And we recorded something for Johnny. He couldn't make it. It's pretty awesome. But it'll give you an idea of how many people were there and how hoarse Charlie was on the last day.
Awesome. Between the length of the weekend and the length of our recap, I think I'm just about out of intelligence this evening.
Beyond.
As always, we will give a big shout-out to TK. Thanks for coming out with us and putting this show together. And Warp 11 for your theme song. I'm Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And until Worlds 2012, go out and expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw 119 to end.
Double agent, but they know. And you'll be double crossed by the double.